Hey, Jonathan. You know, it used to be that you could totally tell that a plugin was AI generated because all of the code was just in one giant file.
Okay.
These days, it's not like that anymore. Now, almost every new plugin that I review is got like 30, 40, 50 different files, and they're all so full of code. These are just like monstrosities. They are beasts and they are so difficult to review. They just take forever. It's a real pain.
Well, but Luke, why bother reviewing them? Just have AI do it, right? Like,
Yeah. AI does do a lot of the reviews these days, actually. I mean, not the entire review, but it does a lot of helping like in the review.
Pre-checking and, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll ask AI a question about the code base and see what it reports back so that I can go and check something specifically. But yeah, AI is used a lot in reviews, but it's just been interesting to watch the evolution of like plugins that are poorly made because they're simplistic to plugins that are poorly made because they're way overly complex. And
So more code isn't better? Rather than just like little sonnets, aren't we just seeing just like much larger blocks of poetry being thrown your way?
Right, an opus of poetry, you could say. Yeah.
Nice.
No, it has been bothering me, this whole idea of code is poetry. I know I've said it a few times on this show now, but I miss that. I miss the days when code was poetry. I wish I could get back to that. I've been doing a bunch of programming in my own, free time. Yeah. Not WordPress related, actually. I've been doing some hardware projects. And I've been hand coding this stuff without any AI at all. And it is such a delight. You know, it used to be that, like, when I was in school, I learned how to code. And, I mean, a million years ago, 25 years ago, I learned how to code. And
so
my whole career,
so long ago,
my whole career, that's my superpower. You know, that's how I've made money. I can code, other people can't code. Therefore, I have this value that I can bring to the table. And I was good at it. I am good at it. And now it's not a commercially valuable thing. It's not that I don't have a job anymore because I could just vibe code, but the fun in all of that software engineering, all of the fun has been sucked out of it, you know? And it's not something I miss doing that. But then also now when I code and I hand code without AI, I don't have to do it for a commercial reason. I can just do it for fun, for my own little fun, silly projects that are never going to be commercially viable, and it feels good.
So, hold on. When you say that you hand code without AI, like, what does that really mean? Are you not like, are you going all off of memory? Are you not looking anything up? Are you not checking references?
I do look things up. I look up my previous code that I've written, and I'll search stuff on the internet. I occasionally might use ChatGPT to say like, oh, how do I do this in PHP or whatever? Yeah. But I hit this point, and I think that this is common for, I think it's happening more and more, and people are starting to realize. I was trying to, maybe, what was this, like 6 months ago? I was trying to create an iOS app, and I forgot how to concatenate a string in Swift. Okay. And it's just like the most basic thing, how to concatenate a string. And I don't write Swift all that often, but it seems like a basic thing. And I looked it up on a few places, and it turns out a lot of people are forgetting how to code. So that's one of the reasons.
Okay, interesting.
Intentional about it.
It was about, I think, a little over 6 months ago, I forget how long, when I rebuilt my personal website. Yeah. And I wrote the HTML by hand. The thing that I found invaluable, though, and really what unlocked it for me was using ChatGPT at the time as like a teacher to remind me of like, what have I missed in CSS in the decade plus since I've like done this kind of stuff? Or what's some of the new markup that I don't have? And having it tailored to my specific situation rather than just more general searching and working through references, I found it to be motivating for me where I was like, ooh, I want to try some of this new markup. I want to test this over here. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. Prior to that, I don't think I would have found it accessible to find the time to go look up a book or something.
Yeah. I want to say that your way of doing it was wrong. I'm glad that you found it motivating. You might not have been coding otherwise. But for me, the line in the sand that I draw is I don't give any access to any of my code to AI when I'm doing it. And again, not suggesting this is commercially viable. It's not. I'm just doing it for fun. I'm doing it as a hobby, right? And so I don't give it access.
This is like the artisan making some custom brew. We're not going to take
just for myself. And
some friends.
And I don't give it access to the code. And that way, any output, I have to synthesize that. It's this higher order thinking. There's a bit of extra cognitive load involved. And I think that's important.
I like the intentionality that you're taking to think through these things. And it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves as time goes on. I was poking around the repository, looking at some of the recent stories. Uh-huh. And one of the ones that stood out to me was there's been some recent activity around the stats for authors of these plugins, right? Yeah. So if I go in and generate a new plugin, that'll now have, rather than one big single file, have lots and lots of files, and I get it in the repo and it's there successfully. I want to be able to see how it does over time, right? Now that it's got Luke's stamp of approval on it. And 4 years ago, there was famously in our space, the removal of that information. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was quite the uproar about it. I thought we did a crossword episode about it, but I couldn't
find it.
I'm sure we referenced it.
Yeah.
Something else, these faulty human memories of ours, right? I'm curious if that's something that, had you seen, has that come across your radar?
Yeah.
This resurrection of the topic?
Well, is it a resurrection or is it just everybody jumping onto something because Matt wrote a few sentences,
Right. Well, in general, if Matt's going to write a few sentences on an old track ticket, that suggests some intention.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everybody's writing news articles about it. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling jaded. I don't think anything's going to change.
Mm. Why resurrect it then? If perhaps maybe there's some broader circumstances at play.
Right. Why don't you give the context though, Jonathan? So the plugin stats were removed. There was some accusations of foul play
there were accusations of foul play, I'd say, but in general though, the detail and the answers that were given about both the process and the end result just weren't satisfying.
They were vague.
To the plugin authors, right? And for those who don't recall, I suspect a lot of listeners will recall it. Part of it, Lucas, I was like, man, was that really 4 years ago? It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but yes, in fact, it was more than 4 years.
Yeah, there was weird excuses given, it's a security thing.
Right. How at first it was a security thing. That doesn't make sense. But then it's inaccurate or it's inconsistent, but there was so little visibility even up until that point. And part of what had been happening is that folks were using it to extrapolate quite a bit, right? Yeah. Where it's so you could, there were multiple reasons that you could argue there's some issues with it. Maybe it was a resources thing. It was costing more resources, whatever the case was. And at the time, Matt had said that we will revisit this, at a later date. And, it's now a later date and it looks like it's been, being revisited.
So why don't you read out what Matt updated this ticket with?
It's a very long thread. A gentleman named Pods, or with these name Pods, had reached out and updated the thread, and then Matt responded and said, one of the things that Matt seems to do is introduce new vocabulary items for me on a fairly regular basis. He says to Pods,
fond of that.
Perhaps you could be the ombudsman for this.
Ombudsman. Yep.
Ombudsman.
That's not a new vocabulary.
It's for me.
I think it might be a British / we have ombudsman in Australia.
Okay, well, I don't know what it means
in the UK.
Is it a shepherd or a wrangler or what is
a wrangler? That's the automatic automatic tone. No, if I have a problem with my cell phone provider, I call the ombudsman and say, hey, this provider is not playing by the rules. They're being, and the ombudsman calls them to account for it. Right. So it's sort of like a neutral third party that.
Oh, interesting.
That an industry is accountable to.
Interesting. So he, that's quite the positive response then. He follows up and says that there's a few competing interests.
I actually don't think Matt knows what ombudsman means either. sorry, Matt. No, that's, I mean,
I kind of doubt that, Luke.
But no, but I don't really think he means it in the way that, at least that I understand it. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the word, but I don't think he's trying to give that level of power to somebody.
I mean, given the recent context for having, what was it, the .org janitors? Like, I guess I haven't seen some of the what's actually come of that, but Matt has seemed to be in much more of a, let's give people things and see what happens.
Well, the reply to Matt is, well, if you're going to make me the ombudsman, then I need to have the ability to make a decision and actually make changes, and you're not going to give me that. And that's true.
Yeah. I am going to be speaking at WordCamp US in a couple of weeks.
Oh, congratulations.
And the best part of that is that I'll be doing no more than half the talking. I'll be sharing the stage with Tammy Lister. I'm very excited about that. This will be our first talk together.
And do you think there'll be anybody in the audience?
There's at least one or two people.
Yeah. Okay.
No, well, I expect. Was that a? It's hard to know if that was a joke about.
It was
a jab about
yeah,
us,
you're right.
Or the overall attendance.
I
like
meant
either
attendance
one of those
at WordCamp. Yeah, that sort of didn't land properly.
Oddly enough, so we're doing a talk about product and partnerships and like how they work together and what we've learned over the years. But they put us in a technical track, so who knows? People may be just deeply disappointed when they show up, and we're not talking how to write plugins with AI and put more in the directory. But it will, I'm excited about it, though.
What do you think about, like, just more broadly about the WordCamp attendance? Like, I haven't looked recently. Do you think that there will be more people at this WordCamp than there was WordCamp US than there was at the previous one?
That's a fair question. I'm guessing that it holds pace with the previous WordCamp US, which was a down. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of effort and energy into getting more folks coming out, and I think it'll be a fine enough attendance. It's been interesting to see a higher level of promotion. Like if you go to .org, they're pretty actively promoting WordCamp US.
That's interesting. Yeah,
in my conversations with folks, I'm finding interest fairly mixed. Some folks, it's like, yeah, we're going to go for sure. Others, there's just conflicts this year. It does seem like it's a more optional thing just as a whole, whereas in the past, it's like, all right, if you're in the space, this is just kind of what you go to.
Yeah,
you're going to go to one or more of the big ones.
Especially if you're in North America. Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that interest in attending WordCamp seems to be dipping in the United States? It's not dipping internationally. In Asia, I think WordCamp Asia has still got good attendance rates. And I think WordCamp Europe also did pretty well last time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's multifaceted. I think there's less overall incentive to visit the States from folks outside of the States right now, just in the current geopolitical climate. I think there are certainly folks who had a really bad WordCamp US experience a few years back. And as a result of that, they've just soured on overall attendance.
Why?
There are net new folks.
What happened? Oh, never mind. I remember now.
But one thing that is interesting that I'm curious to see how it pans out for this year is that there is a greater effort to bring folks from outside the WordPress space to WordCamps. They're introducing some new, like an area where merchants are being encouraged to set up, like that, you know, they may be like a WooCommerce store or something else entirely, and they're being given space there to show what they've built on WordPress.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be interested to see what folks do.
Well, forget plugin stats. What I want to see is WordCamp attendance stats, and let's put those in a chart and track that over time. Be interesting metric to see the health of the WordPress ecosystem in a given market.
Is that public information? I feel like it is.
Yeah, it should be.
I don't know if anyone's collated it or brought it together. But yeah, that would be interesting.